Well, good afternoon, everyone. Happy Sabbath to you all. I say welcome to our visitors, guests. I am going to warn you, I am not firing on all cylinders today. I'm really tired, and I had the honor and the privilege to speak to the national broadcast to the Philippines last night. So I started my sermon around 10:30, and the full service ended around midnight. So I am really tired. This is the first for me. This is the third sermon I've given on a Sabbath. So you get the leftovers. So, but it is good to see you all. You know, as we heard, in just over 4 weeks, we're going to enter into another cycle of the annual Holy Days plan. In exactly 30 days, there'll be a night that we will come to that we've already begun to prepare to be here for. Now, I'm not talking about 29 nights out. That's the Passover. We already discussed that. Now, we're going to come here in 30 days for a very special night that the entire church looks forward to. Something we look forward to gather in small groups. In some cases, we often can do here. We can get together as a larger group. But we're going to share something. We're going to share something. We're going to observe what this world has no clue of what we're going to do. It would just go over their head if we tried to explain it without God opening their minds. It took a God merciful to us to show us what this night was all about. And of course, this night is what we call the night to be much observed. But what it is something special. What it's not is a night where we just come and have a party. It's not a night of just feasting and eating. It's a night that holds a special meaning for the people of God. And that's what I want to discuss today. I want to discuss this evening and what it means. If you would please, turn back to Exodus 12 and let's read this exhausting explanation of what this night is. We get one scripture. But we know God, He's good at packing. He packs a lot of information in one scripture. He packed a lot in this one book. For sake of context, we're just going to grab a little bit of the context. There's a lot more we're going to cover in a second, but I just want to read this. Exodus 20, and let's start in verse 40. Exodus 20, I meant 12. Exodus 12, told you, I'm a short a cylinder or two today. Exodus 12, verse 40 says, "Now the sojourn of the children of Israel," it speaks of the length of the stay they had there in Egypt. "Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. We know this was a warning. This is prophesied it would take place. Abraham was told this, and here we come to an end of it. He goes, "And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies," and I love how he describes how many people are here. It's like, it wasn't just a handful. This is an army of people. This is a grand number of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. And here's the verse that we get this from. "It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout all their generations." Again, there's a lot here. And this is what we want to break down, is what it is and what it's not. So if you want a title, it's going to be simple. The Night to Be Much Observed, a Night of Vigil. The Night to Be Much Observed, a Night of Vigil. You know, although this is just a short description that we find here, primarily just in one scripture, but we get the context in these three, we notice this is not an ordinary night. This is not common. There was something taking place. In fact, there's a lot of layers here. A lot of layers that we're going to pull back. We're going to look at, because this was something special. And we're going to see why it was so special that God commanded that it's not only to be remembered, but it's something that needs to be engaged in. Something that is to be observed throughout the generations. And as it's perpetually been kept, it has fallen upon us to this day to remember why. What it is, what does it stand for them, and what does it stand for us? And to get that deeper understanding, to start peeling back those layers, let's look at the entire context of what's being said here. You're in chapter 12 of Exodus. Drop back. Let's just pick it up in verse 29. Now, you remember, they've been in a land of upheaval. They're slaves. Their lives have been just nothing, just a vapor to their oppressors, as we heard, the Egyptians, in this bondage. But they've seen this promise coming true. All these plagues have been coming, and the land's of an upheaval, and they know, well, the Egyptians are really angry. But then this special night, the night that happened on the previous night, where a lamb was slaughtered, the blood is on the door. God says, go behind that, stay in there, and wait. And look what happens in verse 29. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord did what he said he was going to do. He struck all the firstborn. They have witnessed all the gods of Egypt, everything they held in high esteem, be shamed, be defiled, been abased, destroyed. Can't stand before the great God of Israel. But now he strikes the heart. He strikes every home. He strikes the life. That firstborn was special to them. And we'll see, even Pharaoh, that firstborn was supposed to be a deity coming from his body to take over. He says, and it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn land of Egypt, the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of even the livestock. So Pharaoh rose at night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and that was a great cry. Death was all around them. They'd been struck again straight to the heart. For there was not one house that there was not one dead. And then he called for Moses and Aaron by night. And he said, rise. All right, I've had enough. It got to that point. It's right in his face. I've had enough. Go out from among my people, both you, the children of Israel. Go and serve the Lord as you have said. And you remember at the beginning when he says, we want to go. He says, oh, you can go, but you can't take your valuables. You can't take livestock. And I was like, you don't create the terms. God creates the terms. And now it took this striking. And he says, just take your flocks, take your herds as you have said, and be gone. Then he has, bless me. He's thinking, well, maybe you can fix this for me. God's like, no, this is a strike. This was God. And he goes on to say, and the Egyptians even urged the people that they might send them out of the land with haste. Just go. Get out from among us. For they said, what shall we be? We will be all dead if you don't go. So the people took their dough before it was leavened. Remember, that night before they had the Passover, that food they had, it's all burned. Couldn't wait till the morning. So now they're doing all this. He says, now the people took the dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls, and they bound them up in the clothes on their shoulders. Remember, they're like pack mules at this point. They're starting to grab everything. Something's changing here. This call is getting ready to go forth. And the children of Israel has done according to the word of Moses. And they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and articles of clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. So they did grant them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. So they're doing all this. So a lot of stuff is going on here. But then you got a lot of other things they got to deal with. And you can read it again if you want to, all the way through 42. You had the Passover that broke the bond of oppression. But then there's something else on the very next night that has to be looked at. And if you want to, if you're still unclear about this progression of time, just keep your finger here. Turn over to Numbers 31, 31, 33. Numbers 33, and listen what Moses recorded so that we know that, hey, there's something special in these two nights. Moses wrote this in Numbers 33. Let's pick it up in verse 1. He said, these are the journeys of the children of Israel who went out from the land of Egypt by their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. Verse 2, now Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord. And these are their journeys according to their starting points. They departed from Ramesses in the first month on the 15th day. of the first month. On the day after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with boldness. Something changed. Slaves who've been oppressed, who allowed that oppression to be broken, now are walking out with boldness in the sight of the Egyptians. Don't have to turn there, but you can put in your notes, Exodus 14:8 speaks about they went out with a high hand. They went out with a high hand. It was a monumental event because it was backed by something power. Not slaves. It was backed by the power and strength of God Almighty. Enough is enough. I remember my covenant and I will fulfill what I said I was going to do. Again, this night was a moment God wanted Israel to remember. You see, Moses wrote it down. So you know it's something different than the Passover. It's something to think. It's something it followed. Very important. God says, remember, this is a sign. But interesting, though, what he wanted them to remember may not be what we think of first today. It's actually awe-inspiring when we break this down through these layers to see what God wanted them to understand. And we start to see what this moment, what he really wanted them to focus in on when we consider the Hebrew phrase rendered in the New King James as a solemn observance. In fact, though, it's better explained if you go back to the King James Version, because that translation captures the essence of what was truly happening during that evening and what God would have us remember as we observe this to his glory. I'll just read it for you. And King James says in Exodus 12:42, and this is where we get the name, "It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations." Did you notice how and what the object is here? Points to God. It points to something very special. This phrase is actually a Hebrew word. It's 8107, shemarim. Shemarim, or however you say it. I'm pretty sure I messed that one up. But that word means night watch, watching or vigil. Night watch, watching or vigil. And that's actually from the root word 8104, shamar. And I want to read all the definitions of this root word because it really starts to develop what we're going to go through today. Shamar means to keep, to guard, to observe, to give heed, to keep watch, to hedge about, to protect, to be circumspect, to take heed, and to preserve. Start to see a different picture being painted here. This was a night of vigil. It was a night to be ready. Something was about to happen. That's why it's not a night that is approached like that of the Passover. It's not to be viewed as a dinner party. Yes, there was food. We still have food to this day. But it's not a dinner party. It was a night special in its own right because it pointed to something greater. It pointed to what was about to take place. And those old timers here in the days past, what did we used to call this name years ago? The night to be remembered. The night to be remembered. You know why we stopped using that name? Because this night is more than just a remembering something. That word speaks to something else. We're to remember exactly what was going on, but we're to engage. That's something that we're to engage in. That object of our focus can either magnify what we're to learn that night, or it can cause us to misinterpret the spiritual intent. God says, I want you to observe something. It's more than just remembering. It's engaging into this memory. Realizing what happened, I want it to be magnified in your hearts and minds. I want you to see this. I want you to grasp this spiritual intent. Even our own English language, or the word observe, is pretty interesting. It's the meaning from Merriam-Webster is to be or become aware of, especially through careful and direct attention. Not just something you come and just remember and hey, it was a good time. No, careful and direct attention to notice, to watch attentively. And I love this one, to make a systematic or scientific observation. Uncover the details. Uncover the details. Yeah, there was a lot of observation going on that night. There was a lot of things going on all around them that was trying to take their attention. The people just witnessed so much. There's death around them. They are preparing as God had instructed them to do. They were observing. They were participating. They were watching. They were waiting to leave Egypt. However, put yourself in their shoes. A slave's shoes. We're going to go deeper in this in a minute, but just for now, think about what would it be like after everything you've witnessed all your life and even the ups and downs of the last plagues. Would you be concerned? Yeah. My world's shaken up. We know those nasty Egyptians. We spoke up and they killed our people. We complain, we got beat. So yeah, we got some concerns here. They're mad now. They're really mad. They've lost something great and they're really retaliatory people. What about the unknowns? We're walking away from everything we know too. Even though it's slavery, at least we had a home, we had food. We're walking away. Could they be anxieties going on? Realizing, hey, we're still in the lion's den. Again, anything can happen. And then that thought, are we truly free? Are we truly free? What's really going on? And this is where the object of the action of that word, shimmering, brings to light that situation. Because shimmering is not just pointing to the people. It's putting an emphasis on God. An emphasis on God. It's identified as the Lord's watch. That deeper meaning of shimmering highlights the role God played on that night. What he did, God stepped in, like we heard, filling in that gap. I am keeping alert guard on you, over my people. I've given you the warning and I'm there. I'm watching. I'm keeping my captives safe. In fact, you know these Hebrew idioms we see all the time, even these writings, there's always this play on words. Expositor says this about this play on this word shimmering, this the night to be much observed, this is the night of the Lord's night. It says, it puts it this way. This play on words goes like this. Yahweh watched over Israel that night, so Israel was to watch Yahweh by keeping a feast perpetually. You watch, and we watch. We will remember this perpetually because you watched over us. You watched because it was a watchful service. It's not just the night. We will remember always, great God, for what you did for us. You didn't just break the bonds. You protected us and brought us out. Something very special. That play on the word reveals that interesting situation that God would like us to review, even in turbulent times. Again, think of this nation, this armies of the Lord, millions of people. You ever try to move a million people? You know how hard it is to get everyone in this room to go to that room? It's not easy. There's something going on here. This is it takes a lot of preparation. It requires their full attention. And with this level of focus, and when everything going on, you know what we require Israel to do? Turn their backs on their enemy. They got to focus on God now. And there's all this torment going on, all this remembering what it's like being a slave, knowing that they're a retaliatory type of people, knowing they just lost, and they might want to come back and strike our firstborn. They might want to come strike us. But they got to trust God. They got to turn their backs. They got to do what God said do. This is a tense situation, which means they had to be faithful to their God and trust in His faithfulness. Even if they try to attack, they got to trust God's got our back. God's going to watch us. God is going to keep vigil over us. He's going to ensure that no one will undermine our obedience. He called, we answered. It might feel like they might look and someone might say, oh, you're leaving yourself open for attack. No, my God's got my back. I can't worry about that. I'm trusting in Him. I'm going to walk towards Him. We've all felt that in our lives. We feel it every day. When we observe this moment on that night, yes, we remember that in history. We remember that it really was a time that the ancient Israel had to go through and have their God watching over them. But we also remembering, just like they may not realize just how much God was involved, we have to remember just how much our God is involved in our lives when we are called to come out. We got to take note what God has, is, and continue and promise to do for us. We play out this same scenario in our lives. So just like ancient Israel, when we come to this night, we will be prepared. Provisions will be made. Travel will have been done. There will be food, but it will not be our focus. Our focus is going to be on that deeper spiritual intent of what this night represents. Turn forward to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1, and let's just see how this has been played out for us. Galatians 1. Again, there's nothing wrong with the food, but I want us to see this same scenario. Have the 14th day, and we're going to have a 15th day. But listen to this. Galatians 1, verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Remember who watches over us, who we serve. It's not man. First of all, remember. Who gave Himself for our sins. Who would be? We're going to rehearse that before the night to be. We're going to rehearse what that blood did. What that sacrifice covered us and protected us from where He came and He broke the bondage. He gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Our God is going to break that. He has broken. We're going to remember that. It's a very important aspect of our lives. In your own study, when you think about that, go back before the Passover. Read Romans 5 in this context. Just like a slave who has no strength and power themselves. It says, when you were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. He gave that sacrifice. They had no strength of themselves, but a sacrifice was made for them. Goes on to say, God demonstrated His love while we were still sinners. They were still a slave nation. God didn't wait and said, as soon as Lewis gets his act together, we'll die. We'll do this. No. That love, that covenant, that promise is powerful. And He said, I'm going to act. But what was their response? What is our response? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I got an answer too, Lewis. Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52, verse 11. Isaiah 52, verse 11. You know these scriptures well. And in my Bible, this is not a whisper. Depart. Are you ready? It's been broken. You're not a slave. I've broken that oppression. Now you go out from there. Touch nothing unclean. I've already destroyed their gods. You do not bring that with you. I've made a way. I've protected you. I want you to come out. Don't touch that clean. Go out from the midst of her. You be clean. That's what this purpose, this night, we'll get to in a minute, is all about as well. Leaving the old, reaching for the new. Where you once, you will be. So you bear the vessels of the Lord. You shall not go out with haste. Now, you remember ancient Israel, everyone was trying to force them out with haste. They were panicking, Egyptians. He says, not you. No. Because we don't have to be paralyzed with fear. We don't have to go try to be in haste, nor with a flight. Why? Our God is keeping vigil. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. I got your back. I'm watching. Just be ready, and when I say depart, you're ready, and you do it. And leave that life behind. And come out of there, my people. We see this same thing mentioned somewhat similar in Revelation 18:4, where he says, come out of her, my people. Don't share in her sin. You will get those plagues too if you're not careful. Don't defile yourself. Don't listen to their voices. We remember in John 10 about the good shepherd. That's the voice we listen for. Depart. Depart. And we follow that voice. A comforting, good shepherd who watches over his sheep. You see, when we come to this night, the 14th will be passed. The Passover has been taken. And as the sun sets on the 15th day, we enter in. Yes, we'll be keeping night, do much observe, but we enter in the first day of unleavened bread. Picturing, put out the old, take in the new. God has identified what we leave behind. God has identified that we need to abandon that old way of life. God has made way. A slave who was oppressed now has that freedom to seek Him, to take upon ourselves what we need to be His people, a holy people prepared to be where He is. Prepared to be with our God. So we come this night, we're not there to worship the food. We're not there to worship the venue. We're not there just to focus on that. We're there to come together as a group, a congregation of God's people, to remember, to observe, to take note, and to highlight a great blessing, a miracle. God's mighty hand has broken that pull that the world had on me and has called me out. God provided a way out of my bondage. He broke that strong hand of my captor, and He has offered me true treasure. True treasures, greater than gold and silver. He's offered me things that moth and rust cannot destroy. And as I obey, yes, there's a lot of chaos around me, but as I obey, my God's watching over me. He's keeping vigil. And I can come out with a high hand, with boldness to that throne. Because He made it. He made a way for me. He's calling me. He's drawing me near. Why would I put anything else in that way, in that path, to destroy my focus on my God? Where He's bringing me. So on this night, we will celebrate. Not a party, but give that proper attention to, according to God's standard, the fact that our God will continue to provide for our needs no matter what we face. We're going to rejoice. We're going to see here it's a great sense of rejoicing. We're going to rejoice over this newfound freedom, the true freedom from our oppressor. We're going to take those steps, just like we do every day, in faith. We're going to wait for His guidance. We're going to faithfully obey so that we seek that promise. And we know if we try to do it ourselves, we're going to get lost in the desert. We're going to get right back, put ourselves back into another oppressive state. We're going to look for His oversight. We want to know where we're going. We want to know, what does it mean? How do we live as a free people? How do we be holy? As You are holy, we focus on the One who keeps vigil over us. We go to Him. Track with me here. Turn back to Ezekiel. Man, told you. Exodus. Exodus 13. We're going to track through a few scriptures here. Exodus 13, verse 3. Exodus 13, verse 3. And Moses said to the people, remember this day, in which you went out of Egypt. Remember it. Out of the house of bondage. You just didn't leave a land. You left something that was bondage, under bondage. You were a slave. For by the strength of hand, the Lord brought you out of this place. Then he goes on, no leaven shall be eaten. And on this day, you are going out in the month of Abib. God says, I want you to remember who did and what was really going on. The purpose and what is expected. Turn forward to the book of Psalms. Psalms 33. Remembering what he did, this vigilant God, the God who keeps watch. Psalm 33, verse 18. We can go anywhere in Psalms in this and pick out something, but this one's special. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, who truly respect Him, deference, understand who He is, on those who hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help. He is our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in You. That's the God who keeps vigil over us. Back to the first chapter of Psalms. The first part of verse 6. Sometimes we can read over these and not realize, because of our translation, our language, what's really been said here. When you think of this track that we've been following, let's read verse 6, that verse line. Psalms 1, verse 6. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. The word knows is a very special word. It's the word yada. Yada speaks to kind of like when a husband and wife come together and they know each other intimately. Two become one and life is given. The precious gift of life. God says, I know what you need. It's talking about an intimate relationship. God sees us. He watches over us. He cares for us. Just like God knew their situation in Egypt, He loved them. And He knew what they needed. He wanted to know them. He was committed to His people. He provides a way out. Our God feels the same toward us. This way of righteousness highlights the path for us as well. A people characterized as those ready to respond to this new way of life, those seeking Yada with our God. We want that. Jesus died for this, to bring us to have this one, this great oneness. See, part of preparing requires of us to consider what we are doing. What is taking my attention, my focus? Am I seeking it off with my God? Am I watching over Him and caring for Him as much as He watches and cares for me? So when we come to a night as special as this night, will we focus on the food? Will we focus on the venue? Or will we focus on being part of the congregation of God? This koinonia. A koinonia of chosen people. Understanding that this is a night that represents a lifetime walk out of sin. Again, putting out the old, reaching forward to the new. Israel trusted, Israel followed. We must depart as well and trust that our God will guide us and we seek to know Him intimately. You're in the book of Psalms. Something very interesting written in chapter 105. Talking about high hands, talking about boldness. Listen to what he wrote in Psalm 105. Let's just pick it up in verse 36. Just to get the context so you know what he's talking about. Psalm 105, verse 36 says, "He also destroyed all the firstborn in their land, the first of all their strength. He brought them out with silver and gold," and catch this, "and there was none feeble among his tribes." God took care of his people. They came out. They didn't get left behind. God took care of it. It was a miraculous way to bring forth his people. They didn't do it themselves. They didn't all grab a brick and chase an Egyptian down. God did it. But look at verse 43. "He brought out his people with joy." With joy. Ah, that's our God. He is doing this right before our face. He's fulfilling his covenant, his promise, his chosen ones with gladness, a joyful shout. Think about this night that we're going to observe. No matter where we are, no matter what we eat, if it's done according to God's command and His holy standards, it will be a night of joy. It will be a night wonderfully observed by the peoples of God because of what it represents. We can't overlook that joy. We're walking miracles. We're walking to that throne, that mountain, that tree of life. That's worth rejoicing over. That Satan can't grab me. He can't. God's got my back. If I focus, I do what he says. Look where he's bringing me. It's a very special day. Evening, excuse me. Deuteronomy. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 5. The giving of the law. After 40 years, you can understand why verse 29 starts the way it starts. Deuteronomy 5, verse 29. Oh, can you imagine that big sigh? Oh. "Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me. They would have the proper deference. They would respect me. And always keep my commandments, that it might be well with them, with their children forever." Drop down to verse 32. "Therefore, you shall be careful, be diligent." Focus on the right thing. "Therefore, you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you. Why? The old way was not life. It was death. It was a death sentence. That's not who you were. Something has been offered to you. You walk in a way that you may live. I'm offering you life. You walk that you may live, that it may be well with you, that it may prolong your days in the which the land your Lord gives you to possess. Verse 6, just keep reading. Chapter 6, excuse me. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you his ways. This taking on of a newness of life, not the old. This is what a holy people do, not slaves. That you may observe in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep his statutes, his commandments, which I command you, your son, your grandson, all the days of your life, all that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, listen, remember, God's talking, he's saying, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Then we get the famous Shema that has been destroyed by language. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, not in singularity, but in that oneness, that family, that intimacy. That yada. You want to be part of that? Then love the Lord. Love him. Remember what he's done. Remember what he is doing, where he's taken you. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. It's going to take effort, but do it. You get the inspiration by remembering, by keeping a focus on what is needed. And these words are to be with you that I command you today. Remember, be in your heart. Let God's Spirit write them there. Not a checklist that, hey, I just want to get out of here. No, where it's taking me, it's changing me. Teach them diligently to your children. Remember, this is a perpetual covenant. Keep it going. You shall talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them on the sign on your hand as a frontlet between your eyes. They should be your thoughts. You should think like a new creation in Christ, not like a slave. You should act like a new creation in Christ, not like a slave. No, change who you are. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And it shall be, when you, the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities that you did not build, houses full of good things that you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. But think of the contrast of what he's about to say here about food. And we think about what we'll do that night. When you have eaten and are full, then beware. Why? Where does he take us back to? You forget that the Lord brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. What was the object of your joy? The food or me? The God who brought you to this night. It's that important that we think about these things. That's why Christ says, don't let your heart be troubled. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Just remember where we're going. Remember what it takes. You know where I'm going. I'm going to take you there. You don't have to be fearful. Don't have to worry too much. We got you. I got your back. Hear my voice. Do what I've asked. How can we know? How can we keep going forward without that troubled heart? We remember these commands. We're careful and focus on that true intent. That's why it's vital. It's not to be God's ways. Our ways, our thoughts, our preferences can't supersede God. We remember what he's done for us. We remember what he's doing for us. We remember the promise. We see that mighty hand, that boldness that he's brought us out with. It should inspire us. It should encourage us to follow his lead, to walk according to his ways. We want that yadah. We want that oneness. Yeah, it's good to have a steak. Steak today, gone tomorrow. But what God gives, what he's offering is for eternity. That's the object. That's the focus. Our God keeps vigil. Final scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Verse 6. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. Why? For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He won't leave you, nor will he forsake you. Then Moses calls Joshua, and he repeats this to him in the sight of all of Israel. Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with the people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. Let us carefully observe. Let us carefully remember what our God has done for us. What he would have us observe on this very special night. And as we walk past and forward after that evening, let's don't remember the food. Let's don't remember the venue. Let's remember the fact that we are a people. God's holy people called out of bondage. That powerful hand, that sinful way of life from the oppressor, Pharaoh, Satan, the devil, can't hold us back. Our God has broken his power. Our God's strength has brought us forward. Our God is watching. He's watching over us each and every day as we prepare, as we engage in this walk out, and we are expected to walk out with a high hand. But let us keep our eye and focus and our heart set on the God who keeps vigil of his people.